I would like you to take the Word of God, please, and turn with me to the book of 2 Timothy. If you have your Bible open there, to 2 Timothy chapter 2. We're going to begin together with verse 15. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. I can't help myself when I'm reading and studying this particular Bible, this particular book of the Bible. In my mind's eye, I'm imagining the Apostle Paul penning these last words from a prison cell to his son in the faith, Timothy. Somehow or another, we ought to say that all of the Bible, in truth, is the Word of God. And though we are saying these are Paul's words to Timothy, they're really God's words to all of us. Because all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. All Scripture. So this is the profitable Word of God penned by the Apostle Paul to his son in the ministry, Timothy. We've come to the second chapter in the 15th verse. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. If you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, I want you to mark this expression, approved unto God. Approved unto God. That's the theme I want to give you for this message from this verse of Scripture. Approved unto God. It settles everything else in the Christian life. Approved unto God. For a husband, for a wife, for a worker, for any child of God to be able to look God in the face and say, I want your approval. I want it done to please you. Hold your place there just a moment and turn with me back to the gospel record given to us in Matthew. In Matthew chapter 25, the Lord Jesus gives us this story, and then gives us a phrase quoted often. I just want to deal with this phrase in the 25th chapter. The Bible says in verse 21, His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things, I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. And I think all of you should take the time to mark well what Jesus said, well done. That's what we're longing for, isn't it? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. And back Paul penning these words to Timothy in 2 Timothy, we ought to be people who are approved unto God. Notice verse 14 of 2 Timothy chapter 2. The Bible says, Of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearts, to the hearers. Remember, he says, remember. And then for further emphasis, remember, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. In other words, words can be used to manipulate people. Words can be used to subvert. There is a certain peril in using words. And some people are using those words, sometimes to get something they want from someone, to make their way. I was thinking recently about people who consider themselves kings. You know very few of those people. But you know more people, perhaps, who are what we would call king makers. They manipulate people and manipulate circumstances to try to accomplish their goals. And when you get around someone like that, you think how they use people, how they use words to accomplish things, to the subverting of the hearer. And Paul is saying, remember this. It's so important, I charge you with this before God. Don't use words wrongly in a perilous way. And then he comes to this, what we have, this is the 15th verse. Study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I want you to write some very simple things down, because I'm convinced you want to be approved of God. I'm convinced of that. You may not have given it as much consideration, as serious as consideration to some people, but you want your life to be approved of God. You want the Lord to say, well done to you. You want to think you've pleased the Lord. When you're in a position of leadership in any way, whether it's working on a job somewhere with responsibility, or it's involved in a home as a family member, a husband or a wife, there's all kinds of influences pulling at you. I think often of the people who would pull at me in my life, want me to do certain things. And sometimes they're bold enough to say certain things they want, they expect me to do. But in the end, all that matters is, have I pleased the Lord? Has this been approved of God? Someday, like all people, I'll lay down this robe of flesh and soar beyond the stars to be with God. Now, I'll meet Him face to face. And when I do, I want to know that what I've done pleased Him. Has it pleased Him? But in the meantime, the work I'm now presently doing and the work you're now doing on a daily basis, is it approved of God? God has a job He's doing. I want you to turn with me to the book of Isaiah just a moment and listen to what the Lord's work is all about. In Isaiah chapter 5, the Bible says, beginning with verse 1, now will I sing to my well-beloved, a song of my beloved touching His vineyard. My well-beloved hath a vineyard in a very fruitful hill. And he fenced it and gathered out the stones thereof and planted it with the choicest vine and built a tower in the midst of it and also made a winepress therein. And he looked that it should bring forth grapes, and it brought forth wild grapes. In other words, God had an intention, but it didn't happen that way. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 5, verse 3, and now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge, I pray you, betwixt me and my vineyard. And here's a great question God is asking. What could have been done more to my vineyard that I have not done in it? Wherefore, when I looked that it should bring forth grapes, brought it forth wild grapes. The question, God says, when you examine me, when you think of your life and think of what you do, and you look to the Lord who gave you life, who gave you opportunity, who put you in the circumstance you're in, what could God have done more? And the answer, of course, is the Lord said, No, I did all I could do. I removed the stones. I prepared the land. I made it possible for something wonderful to be done. And we have no one to blame but ourselves. And so as you're thinking about your life, you might think, well, if my circumstance hadn't been what it is, and all of that is a response to God, whether it's right or wrong, it's a response to God. And we're going to go back to what Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2, when he says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, as Paul writes this and Timothy receives it, what's Timothy saying to himself? I hope many of the things you're saying to yourself. If you're going to be approved unto God, if I'm going to be approved unto God, let's make a list of those things. First, the Bible says, it means we study. We study to show ourselves approved unto God. We study. That's hard work. When I came to know my wife, and she became my wife, a wise preacher said to me, you must learn your wife. And he took for a text, he said, you live with her according to knowledge. Women are all alike, but no two women are exactly alike. I thought that was rather profound. And he said, you find out what kind of woman you married. What kind of girl is she? You study it. Now, when God called me to be a preacher, before that, God saved me. And I asked the Lord to forgive my sin. And by faith, I trusted the Lord Jesus as my Savior. And I became a child of God. And when I became a child of God, it became a workplace for the Lord to work in me, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. And I had to study. I had to know the Lord. Not as a preacher, but as a Christian. How do you know the Lord? Well, He wrote us a book all about Him. Here's the book. It's the Word of God. It's your responsibility to know God. If I said, I'd like you to raise your hands, I think most of you would raise your hands. Not all of you raise your hands. I'm a Christian. I've asked God to forgive my sin. And by faith, I've trusted Jesus, my Savior. Then my question to you is, what do you know about Him? How well do you know Him? Sometimes we compare it to other things. We say, in my marriage, exactly I can say, when I start sentences, my wife can finish them. How many of you have married someone like that? And that's not a bad thing. She just knows me. And I know her. I understand her. But it didn't happen overnight. God expects us to know Him. And we apply ourselves and study. We get into God's Word and dig and learn about the Lord Jesus Christ. This book that we call the Bible is a book about God. It tells us all about God. It starts with a declaration of God. In the beginning, God created. It declares the Lord. We see that He doesn't prove some argument about His existence. He just declares His existence. And we believe Him. We trust Him. We believe the Lord is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. And so, He is my Savior. You don't get to know Him in a casual approach to this. You study. You study to know the Lord. Are you learning Him? What do you know about Him? Do you know that He hears and answers prayer? Do you know that He's true to His Word? Do you know that He never fails? Do you know He's always the same? He never changes? From everlasting to everlasting, He's God. The 90th Psalm says. What do you know about the Lord? Because the devil spends his lifetime working on you to doubt God. To discredit God. Sometimes you're shocked by someone you love saying something to you about the Lord. You think, how could this ever come out of their mouths? But they've gotten in the way where they let the devil speak to them, just like Adam and Eve let the devil speak to them, and doubt the goodness of God. God is good.
Amen.
And His goodness leads us to repentance. That keeps us in an attitude always saying, He's right, I'm wrong, I'm going to get right with Him. have to study if you're going to be approved of God. And I think Paul is reinforcing this to his young son in the ministry, Timothy. Study. Apply yourself. Work at it to know the Lord. And I say to you as a Christian, many people just get satisfied with being in a church, attending a church. Excuse me, please. Flopping down, doing nothing. Maybe every once in a while nodding their head, agreeing with what the preacher may say. But if you're really going to be the Christian that God approves, approved of God, you have to apply yourself and work at it and study. And I want you to write a second thing. Study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman. Some people don't like work, but we must work. My mother taught me a good work ethic. She said to me that everybody in our house has to work. I got my first job when I was 11 years old, paying job. She worked next to a drugstore in a restaurant waiting on tables, and the drugstore owner came to her restaurant, and he was willing to give me a job dusting and cleaning his drugstore shelves. I can still remember. Back then, it was a lot of money. I made 35 cents an hour. You laugh, some people snigger a little, but that's a lot of money. If I worked 3 hours, I made a dollar. Isn't that amazing? And it went a long, long way. Now, if my brother ever worked for me instead of me, if I had to be away for some emergency, my brother charged me a dollar an hour. Yeah, he learned early on how to get everything he could. But my mother was trying to build in me a certain work ethic. And the Bible, interestingly enough, uses this marvelous word. If you're going to be approved of God, you must be a workman. If you go into a field, the Bible has used the story of someone harvesting in a field, working in a field. It's work. You wouldn't expect to find someone in a field just loafing, watching everybody else work. The Bible talks about an athlete and working at that. Same chapter. But God says to us, we're going to have to be workmen. Apply yourself. Does it always thrill you to see somebody work hard at something you know needs done? Well, God wants us to work hard at being the workers He wants us to be. Study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman. I want you to hold your place there and turn with me to the gospel according to John just a moment. I think about this often, maybe too often, but I think about it. In the 9th chapter of the gospel according to John, I think about what the Lord said concerning Himself. John chapter 9, verse 1, the Bible says, "And Jesus passed by, as He passed by, He saw a man which was blind from his birth. And His disciples asked Him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Now they've got a question, like most all people would have a question. Jesus answered in verse 3, "Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him." And then this amazing statement that the Lord Jesus gives us in the 4th chapter. "I must work the works of Him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work." We get the idea sometimes that we have every opportunity in the world, as long as possible, we get it done. It's not that way. All of us are really shocked from time to time at how fast time flies. Where have the years gone? The months and weeks. If you're going to do anything for the Lord, get busy and do it now. If you're ever going to be a worker for Christ, work now. When I was just a boy preaching, starting out, 18 years old, my dear pastor, Brother Hagin, said, "Clarence, don't wait till you're my age." He was 45. He said, "Don't wait till you're my age to crank up the engine and get on fire for the Lord and get busy and do things. Start now. Start now. Serve the Lord now. It seems like yesterday he said that. But it's been 55 years. 55 years. And the years have come and gone. Days. Hours. Days to weeks. Weeks to months. Months to years. And I've been working the work of God while it's day, because the night cometh when no man can work. What you were once able to do, capable to do, had opportunity to do, no longer do. That's why the Bible says if you're going to be approved of God, study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed. That's another thing. If you're going to be approved of God, you prepare for seeing Him so you won't be ashamed when you see Him. I want you to write it down just that way. You prepare for seeing Him. Always preparing for seeing Him. There are lots of verses like this, but I'll give you one of them in the book of 1 John. If you'll turn there, 1 John chapter 2. The writer here, the human penman, John the Apostle, says, "And now, little children," verse 28, "now, little children, abide in Him, that when He shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming." There's no question about His coming. Most of us have the idea, if we think He's coming, we'll get really, really busy now. No, no. He could come any moment, any day, any second. The trumpet could sound, the Lord would come. A workman prepares not to be ashamed at His coming. I imagine the story that I think of so often. My mother went on a vacation with my brother and two sisters. She wanted me to go. I had to finish some things in a football practice, and I couldn't go. And for the first time ever, they all had a trip to Florida. That's from Tennessee to Florida. And they were so excited about it. She gave me the day that she'd be back. But the strange thing is she got back early. And I happened to see someone that said, "Your mother got home this morning." I didn't know that. I'd been planning to get everything in the house done, everything fixed up, all the dishes I'd dirtied ready, everything cleaned up perfectly before she came. But she came early. And I can tell you something. Because the Bible says, in an hour you think not, the Son of Man cometh. If you think you've got it all figured out, what you plan to do, have it all taken care of, and then He'll come, no, no, it won't happen that way. In an hour you think not, the Son of Man cometh. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Think about it. A workman. Needeth not to be ashamed. I don't want to be ashamed that He's coming. Do you? I want to have pleased Him. I want Him to find me a workman that is coming. I have the responsibility of pastoring and leading this church. It can be a very complicated thing, or it can be a very simple thing. The complicated part is competing with everybody. The complicated part is trying to find if we've done as much as somebody else has done. That's the complicated part. But to live it in godliness and simplicity, and just say, every day, every moment of the day, just being approved unto God. The truth of the matter is, you can't even please your husband, wife. You may try. God never designed a woman to fully satisfy a man. You can't please your wife, husband. God never designed any man to be all that a woman needs to complete her life. If she could or he could, you wouldn't need Jesus. But you need Jesus. And so when you give the Lord Jesus his rightful place, everything else will take its rightful place. And by the way, no pastor can ever do anything a church would want him to do. None. No pastor could ever do that. I want to make you happy. I want to be there when you need me. I want to call on you when you need me to call on you. I want to pray with you. Sometimes that's extended to praying over a phone instead of praying in person. I want to please you. But no pastor can ever complete all of that. None. What happens? You see, God has designed all Christian life so that each individual Christian can please Him and do what He wants. We all have opportunity and ability, but no two people have the same opportunity and no two people have the same ability. But God knows your exact opportunity and God knows your exact ability. He knows. So listen to the verse again. Study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Workman. Why? Because I'm just preparing to meet Him, to answer to Him. Lord, are you pleased with this? Did you do the right thing before Him? Are you pleased with this? That's all God expects. That's all God expects of you. That's all God expects of me. But that's not a small thing. That's a big thing that He needs not to be ashamed. And then the Word of God says, a simple thing, yet so profound. Rightly dividing the word of truth. How you handle God's word. What you do with what you know. And He tells us some people who didn't do it right. But some people did. The Bible says at the end of verse 15, rightly dividing word of truth. What have you done with truth? The world has turned into a place where people live a lie. Lying has become the order of the day. Think about that. In the 17th chapter of the Gospel according to John, in the 17th verse, the Bible says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Timothy, I say this to you. Paul says this to all of us. God says it all to us through His word here, Timothy. Rightly divide the word of truth. To be perfectly frank with you, I don't know all that means. But I do know enough to know that God's given me the truth. He says His word is the truth. And when God's word tells us what we ought to do, then we ought to obey Him. The Bible says He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You want to please God? Repent of your sin. Ask God to forgive your sin. Invite Jesus Christ to be your Savior. We've taught in God's word that all His children ought to be obedient children. You want to please Him? Do the things He wants you to do, and you know what they are. My dear old pastor, Brother Hagin, again said, somebody came to him and said, Pastor, I just don't know what to do with my life. I don't know what to do about a certain thing. Oh, they were going on and on. And this is when Brother Hagin had me sit beside him in the altar when he was dealing with people, and he had me listen to him. Would you like to hear his response? He said, so you say you don't know. Yes, sir. He said, well, take a guess at it. I thought that's strange. I'm listening there, sitting there. Take a guess at it. And sure enough, on their first guess, got it right. You see, the truth of the matter is, God hasn't left you alone. He's dealing with you right now. Because He wants you to be a person who knows Him and knows His will. Revealing to you as you study, not to be ashamed, that you will rightly divide the word of truth. You'll deal with the truth. When you hear it, God makes you sensitive to it, and you'll say yes to it. That's all Paul was expecting of Timothy. That's all God expects of every one of us. It's not what we don't do. It's what we know we ought to do that we don't do. That's why God gives a verse. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it's sin. Are you responding to his truth? Would you pray with me, please?